to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAM, SIP, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 177. Today's date? Well, I don't know what today's date is because I have the wrong date in the notes. It'll be the 12th of the 12th month. 12th day, 12th month. Yeah. See, if this was 2012, it would be pretty creepy. Which you like, you know, the planets align and...
Didn't they do that in 2000? Like right when it switched the millennium? They were all lined up or something?
It was close to it. It was actually... Well, just completely go off topic. And Face Man is back with us this evening, so...
Yes, and we just lost half of our listener audience.
Crap, another Wilderness Survival episode, yes, because we had so much stuff from Wilderness Survival. Like, Face Man did copious notes. Like, Stank Dog would be proud, because Stank Dog has to show novellas. And he put a lot of stuff in, and he said, oh, I think it'll be about 30, 35 minutes. And I said, oh, okay. And I think we covered about half of it last time, so.
Did we get to half?
I think we just, maybe just under.
Mark. Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, so we're having another two-parter episode, because I find this stuff fascinating. Like, I almost...
It's cool stuff.
I almost went out and just, like, lost myself in the woods last week, because I thought it was just so damn cool. And then
I told a couple of people in IRC to go do that, and I haven't seen them since, so maybe they did it.
We're not touching that one. I can make some... Actually, I did send to get a couple of comments about the whole... James Kim, you know, being lost in the woods type thing, and how we did the Wilderness Survival episode. And I don't think anyone really accused us of bad taste, but at the same point, I had no idea who this person was, or they were lost in the woods, or what was going on. So, I mean, I think we actually recorded this before it actually started any massive media coverage. Or it might have started massive media coverage, but I hadn't paid attention to it, because, quite frankly, I really didn't care. And so, yeah, it was a pure cosmic coinkydink.
Wait, what was? I was looking at the notes.
the James Kim thing, and how everyone got lost
and how we had
our Wilderness Survival episode the same week he got lost, which completely by coincidence, nothing to do that with her.
Binrev had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, there we go. The massive Binrev conspiracy. We ordered a hit on James Kim. Oh, man. That's okay, we're dropping the subject like right now because we're just really going on in a bad taste here. But
that are listening aren't going to enjoy this.
getting back to the whole planets aligning thing, actually, there was – if you've ever not been to Bad Astronomy, it's a website. I think if you just Google Bad Astronomy, it'll come up. If I remember correctly, it's badastronomy.org, but I don't remember. And he details a lot of, you know how in Hollywood movies they like have like the super cool computers and their crazy operating systems and the incredibly intuitive GUI and how it doesn't bear any resemblance to real computers. They do the same thing with astronomy. And I think they were talking about how in what is it, Tomb Raider or Tomb Raider 2 or one of those two movies that the planets were aligning and everything, and he says, there is no way that this can happen. This is physically impossible. Not all in a straight line or...
Huh.
I think he did the math out, and the only... I think you did the math out where that while they can't like align in like a giant straight line, they can be on sort of the same plane, but I think it's millions of years in the future.
Yeah. Well, it is badastronomy.com, and I can tiny URL it.
It's badastronomy.com. If you can't spell right. Bad astronomy, you must be
spell
smarter. You must be smarter than this stick to ride the internet. That's where it comes down.
All right. So we gave
sort of that's not our side of the week. Actually, we have another side of the week, but we'll toss that out as a bonus side of the week.
2.0.
Yeah, for all those times we didn't have a side of the week, this will sort of because we're already in the hole. We'll just try to dig ourselves out a little bit. And wow, mark this date down. We actually have housekeeping this week. Now, I know.
For those
of
you that don't know what housekeeping is,
yeah. I don't know. I guess we can tell. If you've been listening to the show, any of the older shows, you know what housekeeping is. But we just sort of tidy up and point out other things that we may have missed in the previous episodes. And of course, with me, I always say, "Oh, I'll put that in housekeeping next week," and then promptly forget about it. But we do sort of have a not. I guess you could say it's kind of related to BinRev Radio. The BinRev.com our server has been acting kind of wonky. And it was a bit of an issue. And so if for those of you that may have tried to get into either the podcast or the forums over the past, I guess it's been going off and on for a while, but I think it kind of really came to a head over the past week or so where the site was like down for 10 minutes and then MySQL decided to wonk out on the site. So anyone trying to get to the forums or anything remotely related to a SQL database, which is a lot of our stuff on our sites, got a nasty error message that's saying, MySQL is not running. We can't do this right now. So just to let you all, we're working on it. Our massive amounts of trained monkeys are currently probing.
Oh,
I want
a monkey.
Well, no, you can't have it. They're working on the server right now.
That's Savant, right?
No. Well, yes, but he's not a monkey, but we won't get into that. I always looked at him as more of an orangutan.
Well,
and he smells like one, too.
Well, Savant asked in IRC the other night that anybody that sees the problems to send him the error message with a timestamp.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know this part.
Yes, I don't know if he wants us to drop his email. He did it a couple episodes
ago. It would be savant@feartubes.com.
Yes, and there's no leet speak in that. It's just feartubes.
Yeah, feartubes. Yeah, which I think is a fun domain name. And I do believe I have an alias there, but I don't remember what the heck. My email alias that forged my other account, but I don't remember what it is. Either like Ratchet or Black Ratchet or something. But it's pretty cool. It's like, yeah, feartubes.com.
There were a couple people asking him for email addresses there.
Mm-hmm. And since we're on the housekeeping, this is more directly related to BinRev Radio. And for those of you who tried to get into the podcast with Apple over the past, I don't know, I think it's been since episode 173. Ever since we put the notes up for 173, so I'm not sure exactly when that happened. iTunes has been choking on our podcast feed, and that's because someone put I'm completely blameless in this, so ha. Someone put in a badly formatted piece of code into the show notes. And technically what the problem was the someone posted a Microsoft Word single quote, which is that little curly quote, and that really caused all the XML formatting to completely go bonkers. So if the curly Q kind of misformatted everything and broke the XML formatting. So if you try to get into the podcast, iTunes choked on it, and probably other couple of RSS readers or probably any other podcast client, but iTunes was the one that we received complaints on. But that has been fixed, and hopefully the bug will not resurface because we actually are looking for that now, and along with all the other stupid proprietary Microsoft Word curly things. I can't stand them. Like, I know there's a...
Is it just a single quote, or...?
It's a single quote, and it's the double quotes, where it has, like, the curly... If you're ever in, like, you know, actual typography, the first quote is supposed to be... probably going to mess this up. When you're doing a quote, the first quote is supposed to be like facing the words, and the second quote is supposed to be facing the opposite end of the words, so like they're pointing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the single quote has something similar to that, but Microsoft Word formats it so it's all nice and pretty, but it doesn't handle well when you're trying to translate it into the text.
Well, I'm looking at the show notes for the different episodes, and it just looks like a straight up and down line.
We fixed it, that's why. Because we're cool like that.
Okay, then.
Nick84, he's the man.
Shouts to Nick84.
Shouts to Nick84. All right. I think all of our housekeeping this week is sort of gloom and doom and disasters, but
Nothing else is important enough to go into housekeeping.
Exactly. I think that sort of wraps it up. So, do you think we should go into email?
Email.
Email@thinred.com. Our first email tonight is actually we have two emails tonight. Well, since they're both titled to you, do you want to read them?
Sure.
All right.
Great. Hi, Stank, and insert co-host here. In the last episode, number 176, Faceman was saying that he didn't have the possibility to burn an ISO. There is a free open software, a la Nero, called BWG Burn on SourceForge at sourceforge.net/projects/BWG Burn. It works really well for me, at least, and it can burn ISO for CD or DVD. As for Ubuntu, just right-click on the ISO file, and the pop-up menu, you will have a burn CD option. On Linux, you could also use K3B, another Nero-like software. So,
you can sort of roll into the next email here, since it's the same topic, from Iron Geek this time.
This one's from Iron Geek. It says, hi all, this is for Faceman. Another alternate CD burning software he could use is CD Burner XP at cdburnerxp.se.
So, and we're going to tiny URL both of those. And the first one is tinyurl.com/VPDLU, Victor Papa Delta Lima Uniform. And that's for BWG Burn, which actually I've never heard about. I'm actually going to check that out. If it's free and it's Nero-like, it's got to be full of wind, so we're going to be checking that one out. And the CD Burner XP is tinyurl.com/5Q5ZK, 5 Quebec, 5 Zulu Kilowatt.
So. Okay. And on that subject, I did burn a couple of ISO CDs, and both of them screwed up on my account. Yeah, I screwed up.
Oh, okay, you did not the computer?
No. The program you gave me, Image Burn, worked fine. It was my problem, and I downloaded a bad version of FLAC when I tried to do that in Debian. I didn't even try Debian.
I was about to say, why are you using FLAC? Just use Debian, damn it. Because Debian's just the best.
And then I got Debian downloaded, and I'm ready to burn that to a CD, but my sister used all of my CDs.
Ouch.
All 45 of them.
What the hell was she burning?
CDs, music.
Did she download it off Kazaa?
Musician,
oh.
And they're burning sample CDs.
Oh, okay. See, I can't fault her for that, but I do something similar to that, but however they reimburse me for it.
As soon as I get CDs, I'll try Debian.
Yeah, because Debian rocks, and everyone should be using Debian. If you don't use Debian, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you.
Bring it, little man. Bring it.
Faceman's going to be hiding out in the woods. He's going to be taking me down like a Rambo.
Like a what?
Rambo?
Oh.
Did I just date myself there?
I thought you said rainbow.
Oh. Oh, rainbow. You can like say like Rainbow Six or something, isn't it?
I was thinking of the have you seen the Spike commercials for the Video Gaming Awards?
I've seen a couple of them, although I really shouldn't think I should admit this on Bent River Radio.
Well, they've got this pink powder puff thing, and he says that he's going to cream all the other gamers with a cream powder puff rainbow or something.
Oh, yes, yes, I did see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for something mindless to do while I was actually sitting in front. I was sitting on the couch on the laptop doing something that took most of my attention, and I always do need background noise. So I what did I turn on? I turned on something, you know, heavily violent but censored and lots of explosions. And who did
Spike
have?
Does that really well?
Yeah, that's what I was like. Oh, Spike TV must have something, and sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
It was about had Kurt Russell, and he was like some type of futuristic soldier that got killed and abandoned on the soldier. I think that's the name of the actual film.
Okay.
I don't know. There was explosions and people dying, and it was you know, doing a little bit of the ultra violence. And
well, I'm going to give props to Spike TV for the 5-hour Star Trek marathons every single day.
They have marathons every day?
Every day, 5 hours. Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, good for them. I haven't seen Deep Space Nine in a while.
Yeah, they got 2 hours every day. Probably while you're at work, though. So.
Yeah, probably. Damn you and your kids.
I can record it to you and send it to you.
I can put it on my DVR, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Is that even legal to record it and send it to somebody?
That was one of those... Stank and I had this conversation that I had either he had a channel that I didn't, or he had I had a channel that he didn't, and there was something on TV, and I said that I would tape it for him and mail it to him, and then we got into a long discussion of whether or not that was actually legal, or if it was some type of like illegal, you know, MPAA peer-to-peer filing transfer thing over the mail system.
And I think I remember that. Episode 103.
Wow. Please tell me you just sort of, like, you know, made that up.
No, it's episode 103.
Wow. That's just creepy, man.
Leave it to the Boy Scout.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. more like a one of those little savant people. Idiot savants.
Wait, no, it's not episode 103. You're not in episode 103.
Oh, now you're looking it up.
Yeah, now I'm looking it up.
All right, well, you look that up, and I'll read our next email, which is also from Iron Geek. Iron Geek was blessed us by sending two emails in this week. And he says, Everclear, GemClear, and other brands offer grain alcohol products that are 190 proof, about 95% pure ethanol. Trust me, you can drink it and live, but you may not want to. Iron Geek.
Mm-hmm.
And see, here's what confused me. I'm curious as to whether or not, you know, I may not want to live due to the hangover that may result, or that I may not want to just drink it. And I really need like a Venn diagram for the sentence or something.
Well,
I mean, what is it, like a dangling participle or something? It was very indirect. And I'm guessing that the fact that I may not want to drink it because I think I'm probably going to be in bed the next day going, kill me, but...
Yeah, you may not live. It's if you drink it too fast.
Oh, well, obviously. If I drink it, like, you know, if I pound grain alcohol, like a handle of grain alcohol, I don't think I'm going to be waking up from that. Although, hell, what a way to go. Woo!
It's episode 73.
Episode... All right. Did you actually scroll through the archives trying to look for VHS?
Yes, I did.
Does it say what we were actually trying to tape?
Let's see. I think it is a thing about Kevin Mitnick. Stank was talking about how the Discovery Channel, I think it was doing a thing on hackers,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned Stank Dog in there, and that's
yes, okay, this was just in his Animal Planet debut, Stank Dog on Animal Planet, which actually, if you haven't seen it, I believe it's still up on YouTube. I think if you search for Stank Dog, you'll see his TV premiere, and his him and two other elite dudes when he was going for his certified ethical hacker certification, war driving neighborhoods, and it's I gotta admit, it was kind of pretty funny when I watched it. I never actually did see it on TV. I think I saw the episode, but I never actually got to see him. However, it's up on YouTube, and I did watch it, and it was amusing. So.
When doing a search for Stank Dog on YouTube, you get Stank Dog / Fly Incident.
Yes, yes, yeah. Apparently, there's someone else with the handle Stank Dog. And I'm not sure if they took down the other thing because they're all going jihadist on copyrighted materials, but yes.
Nope, here it is.
Oh, it is there? Okay.
Yeah, the video is named Super Shark when doing a search for Stank Dog, and the tags are BinRev and Stank Dog. So.
Actually, I think I found it by searching for BinRev on YouTube to see if anyone's put Hack TV up there, but I guess Hack TV is too long for it or something. Who knows? I'm actually slowly starting to fall into the YouTube vortex. It's kind of creepy how many people are using it now. I used to boycott it, but not anymore.
It's scary. All the different video softwares out, all the different video websites out there. They got YouTube, MySpace, Google Video. Although YouTube is owned by Google now.
Yeah,
so.
It's now called GooTube.
Never heard that one before.
I never heard that one. I forget who people are calling that, but that's new.
And then I actually saw a commercial for AOL Video.
Oh God!
They
can you believe that?
Put out a commercial.
And it's the guy from Married with Children. The guy from Married with Children is, I believe it's him who's doing the narration, and I probably dated myself again there. But anyway, yeah, I saw that going, what is YouTube advertising? Who the heck's doing this? And it said, videos.aol.com. And I was like, oh, AOL. Okay, that kind of makes sense then. Only they would be stupid enough to view a video site.
AOL is my most hated company in the world.
AOL is dying a slow death, so I'm sure everyone's cheering.
Thank God.
I remember when AOL was cool. I really do. I remember when people, like, well, at least...
Now, see, there you're dating yourself.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I used to think AOL was cool. When, I mean, I had my little modem, but I had this, like, crappy 386 that I basically, my internet account for the longest time was a shell account on a local ISP. And that's how I learned Unix, because I used to sit there and use my telnet and use my FTP, and then I used to download it to my computer, and I thought I was hot shit. But, like, graphical web? What the hell is that? No way. I have my little text screen here. And I remember instant messages? Nah, who would ever want to use those? what a sheltered life I live until I actually started using AOL. I'm like, wow, graphics, and you could use your mouse. Amazing.
Wow, you were all the way before the mouse. And you are old.
Actually, yeah, my first computer did not have a mouse. And I used to, and then we actually got a mouse, which is a serial port mouse, which I might still have someplace, I don't know. But then I used to go into school, and those computers still didn't have a mouse. And you'd just see me start lunging for the mouse when it wasn't there, and I would look pretty stupid, I would imagine. More stupider than usual.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. Anyway, just sort of a getting back to email, just sort of our last bit of, it's not an actual email. We got like 4 or 5 pieces of spam this week citing stuff about enterprise integration patterns and distributed editing and, or what is it, web dev and stuff. And I'm curious if anyone else has gotten this that may not have a tech-orientated kind of email address. Because I'm curious as to whether or not this is actually targeted to people, because this is just trying to get past our Bayesian filters. Not that we have Bayesian filters running on this account. I shouldn't have said that. But
yeah, I'm going to go sign up the BinRev account for spam now.
I remember when I first took it over, we used to get like maybe one spam a week. That was about it. And now it's amazing how much stuff I have to pick out. It's kind of depressing. But I'm curious if you have just sort of a regular email account, and over the past week or so, you might want to check your deleted messages or your trash bin and find out whether or not you got like messages that were kind of had like tech stuff as the stuff to get past the Bayesian, because I'm curious to whether or not we were targeted for this, or they targeted tech email accounts that might have, you know, tech words as their good stuff so they would get through, or whether or not this was just a weird coincidence. So,
well, the most technical spam that I got this week was a high-tech version of Viagra.
Woo!
Oh, yes.
Actually, I did open up a Viagra email, not by purpose. I wasn't interested in getting Viagra. And it was an image of a URL, like a URL bar saying, and the instruction was, don't click this, but type this into your URL bar and hit enter. And I was like, oh, man, you're getting desperate, aren't you?
I'm kind of depressed because I really wanted to get flamed. So I want everybody to send in an email and say that Faceman is an idiot, because I really want to get flamed. I'm not sure why.
Just what is it, Lieutenant
kind of
Faceman?
A part of the group.
LieutenantFaceman@gmail.com.
It's lt.faceman@gmail.com.
Well, go send an email to Faceman and tell him that he sucks.
Yeah.
And
make me feel part of the group.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sort of wraps up the email. What have you done this week about for personal hacking, besides burning CDs that didn't work?
Well, burning CDs that didn't work was my personal hacking story.
Well, why didn't they work?
You didn't check the
MD5?
The CDs themselves worked, but there was part of the internet software gone. Firefox was not working. And basically, I used the same FLAC ISO twice. And, I mean, FLAC is a great distro. I mean, not for general use, but I was looking through there, and it looks awesome. But the Firefox, and it couldn't connect to my network at all. And,
Debian. Pardon me.
Well, I think it was just the one that I downloaded. There was just something that was missing. Probably when they uploaded it to their server from where I downloaded it, it lost something or something. I'm not sure.
I haven't used Slack in a long enough time that I can properly diagnose that, but it sounds like something just wasn't getting set up correctly. Like you didn't enter the right IP address, or your DHCP server wasn't configured, or your DHCP client wasn't configured correctly. Who knows? If you ever had this problem, it's lt.faceman@gmail.com. Go say that he sucks and then say, you suck, you can't set up Linux, here's what you need to do.
Yeah. Well, that is my personal hacking story.
Well, I guess it kind of started yesterday. I actually set up a spare box that I had clicking around, and I tossed a 4-gig hard drive in it, and I'm setting up a malware analysis computer, and I installed XP off my action pack, so... And I'm all licensed up, and I just restarted it right now, so because it said, oh, you know, I downloaded all my stuff, my updates through the automated update client, and you need to, you know, restart, and it said, you know, restart and install these patches, and I click restart, and I start doing something else, and I do a couple of things online, and then I call you, and I'm talking to you, and I look over, and it says, installing updates. This was, like, you know, about 10 minutes at this point. Installing updates, 58 of 62. And I was like, holy crap, how many updates does this thing have?
It's a buttload of updates. And Windows has so many updates, but Windows needs them.
No.
There's so many problems with Windows to start off with.
What the problem, well, I mean, it's the part of the problem is that they don't really have, like, the giant service packs. No, I mean, past Service Pack 2, they don't... how old is Service Pack 2 at this point? I think it's got to be at least a year old. Probably, maybe even two. And, I mean, by the lifetime of Windows NT... I'm sorry, yeah, by the entire lifetime of Windows NT, they had 6 service packs. And NT had a good lifetime. With Windows, they had 4 service pack, and I think for that lifetime was 5 years. And beyond that, XP has only had 2, and I think that, you know, XP is due for a couple extra service packs at this point.
Yeah.
So, Who knows? Who knows? And well, part of the problem is that you install .NET 1.1, and then say, okay, well, you need .NET 1.1 Service Pack 1. All right, well, and you install Service 1.1, and you reboot, and it says, okay, you got 1.1 installed. Now you need to install Service Pack 1 for 1.1. Oh, okay. So you install that, and then you reboot. And you say, okay, well, you have 1.1 Service Pack 1. Now you need to install the security rollup for all these patches. Oh, okay, restart. And then you run through update again. Okay, well, we've released these security patches after the security rollup, after the service pack that you just installed. So you install those and you reboot. And you're up to like four reboots at this point, and there's like four or five separate different patches you have to install. And that's what kills you. That's
the point at which you begin thanking God for lower start times in XP.
Well, hell, once you like start loading up all this extra crap on there, it gets longer and longer. Plus, with this, I'm installing this on a P3667 with 128 megs of RAM, because my stick of RAM that I had kicking around apparently is bad. I installed it, and I fire up my computer, and it starts going beep, 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 and then like the screen's black. I'm like, oh crap, it's beeping at me, and I have to look up the boot code.
The only thing worse than the blue screen of death.
Yeah, it was 1321, which meant in Phoenix. I think it was 1321. Maybe it was those like three numbers, and it was like first 64K RAM bad. I was like, crap. Felt like I was like tapping out a box on a fire alarm. I was like 1, 1, 2, 3. It did bring me back. It was because all you young kiddies, you don't remember that because. Back in the day, that's how you diagnosed your computer when you upgraded. If it didn't start up correctly, it would start beeping at you, and you had to count the beeps and figure out what the beeps mean.
I'd never heard of that before.
Hmm?
I'd never even heard of that before.
Wow. See, look at that. Look like the fifth time
I mean, I knew the system beep was an error, but I didn't know that that's what it was.
Well, Phoenix was cool. They probably still make BIOSes, but there was Phoenix, it was AMI... And there was like a third company, and Phoenix was cool because it had you would count the beeps and it would give you a very specific message.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like AMI used to have like, you know, one beep and it was you were okay, two beeps meant something wrong, and then you would have like, you know, two low beeps or like, you know, two beeps, one low, one high, or one low long, one long low beep, and then another short low beep, and it used to be all these crazy combinations. I mean, Phoenix was cool because you could, like, count them and find out what the exact error message was instead of, well, okay, that sounded like a low beep, but could there have been a lower beep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I never heard the beep.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm sure all the old-timers like me were going, oh, man, I remember that kind of stuff. Upgrading their 386s with a serial mouse card and popping an extra couple of sticks of RAM that would upgrade them up to 2 megabytes rather than 1. Man, for all the fun of the, we should have like a retro computing episode.
Old school.
Yeah, old school. Can you get old school? You young whippersnappers don't know how good you've had it.
Oh, I got a Tandy 2000 in my room.
Oh,
that's about as old as I go.
Tandy's earned it. I mean, Tandy's didn't have all the fun to it. Tandy's.
Oh,
really...
I remember growing up with like the one game on the Tandy. I don't remember what the game was, but it was Leet.
I remember when it was cool when I actually started downloading games off the internet, and I actually have more than one game. Because previous to that, it was my neighbor used to pirate software and used to give me like copies of all of his games, and it was these like homebrew, you know, one man in his basement like pool simulator, like pool the game, not like swimming around. And I used to have an infinite amount of fun by setting the friction on the entire system by like, you know, 0.0001%, and like the balls would just go. Anyway, getting into our specific show topic, because we still have a gobs of stuff to cover. So we're stuck in the woods. We've set up a fire. We found shelter. We found food because we know how to eat animals and not eat them if their liver is spotted.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do we do next?
Well, your next priority, or next thing that we're going to talk about anyways, is signaling. And everybody's heard of SOS, but I just kind of want to cover, some people may not know what SOS is. And SOS is Morse code that for 333. And which, do you know which one comes first, the dash or the dot?
It's dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
Ham radio, baby, ham radio, yeah.
Well,
Because people would know if before SOS, it used to be CQD. Come quick, danger.
Huh. Well,
yeah.
Three is the universal sign of distress, and that's where SOS comes from. So, it's
three shall be the number of the counting, and the number of counting shall be three. Four is right out. Sorry,
yeah.
Go on. I just had to cross on some Monty Python there.
Well, you can. It's three of anything, so you can do it audio, visual, radio, fire, anything. We're going to start with audio, although there's not really much to cover. If you got a whistle or something, it's just blow on it three times. It's the general rule is short blows instead of long. That way they all go together. A lot of kids like to blow just three times nice and long if they don't know what it is or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just something that's embedded into a small child's brain whenever they get a whistle. I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed since I've heard about three of anything as a distress is that little kids blow everything three times. So it's embedded in
the Baseman's subconscious. Like been rescuing like small children, and that's how we got on the sex offender registry. Well, he blew his whistle three times. Oh, he's blowing whistles. Oh, man. You're coming with me, sir.
Well, I figured it was just embedded into their brain so that they would be blowing the whistle for their parents that have to put up with the whistle. But I don't know about that. You've also got visual. Your main thing there is going to be fire. The symbol that goes along with three is the triangle. So if you make three fires in a triangle, that's easily spotted by the air, get some big fires, smoke fires, throw leaves and stuff on the fires, they'll go up real big. So as long as you got a fire going, you can throw just about anything on it that'll light quickly and not smother it. And the rule of thumb was 30 feet, I think, but if you don't have that much room, you don't have that much room. So the idea is that it's all evenly spaced. So that's the main point. Well, you get your ham radio license, right?
Of course. That's how I know my SOS and my phonetics. Getting back to visual, I thought it wasn't like three X's or something. Like if you had like your crazy hatchet with you and you felled a couple of trees and you could arrange them into three X's or something that meant distress.
That would work too.
Okay.
It's three of anything, especially from the air, because that is most lost people will be found from the air. So. Three of anything.
I was just going to make a giant fire that spelled out, send more booze. So I have my ham radio license, so how would that help me? Not that I don't know the answer, but anyway.
Well, I was kind of wanting to know if you had anything to say about signaling SOS on the radio or signaling for distress on the radio.
Well, anything, I mean, it's very hit or miss. I mean, there's a couple of, for example, if your plane goes down and you manage to somehow salvage the airplane radio, the international airplane radio is, international distress frequency for airplanes is 121.5 megahertz, and it should be clearly marked. Obviously, you don't want to transmit on that if there's something if you're not in emergency, because you know you'll have people running to you saying, "Hey, what's going on?" And you'll probably get massive amount of fines. For if you're on in a boat situation, the international frequency for VHF maritime is channel 16, and I'm not exactly sure what the HF one is. But, I mean, barring that, also, if you have a CB and you're chances are this is monitored, but Channel 9 is the officially, well, not the unofficially recognized channel for emergencies.
Yeah. So if you ever hear any truck drivers on CB9, tell them to get off.
And then run when they come after you. Yeah. But if you have access to a radio, and just basically tune around and listen. If you hear someone talking to you, wait for a break in the conversation, because remember, if they're talking, chances are they will not be able to hear you unless they have some type of really insane setup. But wait for them to stop, and then just key up and say help, 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 and they'll hopefully hear you.
Mayday.
Mayday is another good one. Amateur radios. I know the officially the way the FCC says it is that if you're in the middle of a conversation, ask for an emergency break, and they're supposed to sit back and get ready for transmission. But I was actually on the amateur radio once, and I was talking on my local repeater, and just gas bagging with some random person, and this guy popped up saying so-and-so, break. And I was like, oh, crap, something's happening. What's going on here? And I was all ready to, do whatever. And it was just, he was from down south, and he says, oh, yeah, we always use this for asking for just getting on the repeater. I was like, oh, okay. So he got me all ready to go there, and nothing happened. But
false alarm.
Yeah, never mind. He apologized profusely, so I can't really. And he said, "Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind if I'm ever up north again." Of course, I think I had my radio license about a couple of months at this point, so all of the little radio rules were floating through my head.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of civilian or I believe I'm not sure about airplane radios, but I've seen a lot of VHF maritime stuff saying channel 16 in case of emergency. And the Coast Guard actually monitors Channel 16, and they actually have a HF one. And something wants me to say 3.8 megahertz or something around that line, but I don't know that. So I think it covers radio pretty well.
Well, I remember
having your sweet tea again or something else?
No, actually, this week, Ben Rev Radio is sponsored by H2O.
Woo! Oh, I have my glass right here.
So I remember listening to a BinRev radio episode, I believe it was on ham radios, about in a distress problem when you need help that you can do whatever you want.
Oh, yes.
Any frequency, any power, whatever you need to do to get help.
Yes, because technically when you're – if you have access to a radio, and you're in a dangerous situation – unless you're doing something very, very bad, they're not going to scold you for it. I think the one time I heard of an issue in that type of certain situation was an amateur radio, and his friend hurt himself, and he had a modified transmitter that would allow him to talk on police bands, and he couldn't talk to anybody on a regular band. He couldn't raise any repeaters up, or he couldn't reach anybody. So he went on to the police band. He identified himself and saying, I have an emergency, and the police told him to go ahead. So his friend was evacuated, and he was, the police thanked him, but the FCC came by and confiscated his radio because theoretically I don't think you're supposed to be able to I forget the rule they gave to it, but there was actually quite a hubbub about this in the amateur radio community because it was a very big hazy gray area as to whether or not he could legally do this because he properly identified himself. He didn't have an access to go ahead, but it was an emergency situation, and the police dispatcher told him to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure how it ended, but I don't think it ended well because the FCC is a bunch of morons.
Isn't all of the government?
Most of the government. Some people are clueful. It's just they usually aren't in seats of power.
Yes. Okay. We've also got symbols. Basic stuff. Yes, no, Y, and N. Just big symbols on the ground with rocks and stuff to air for planes and stuff. And I'm
the giant middle finger if they don't want to get rescued.
Yeah. Actually, no, there is a, let's see, raise your right arm above your head, with your left arm down and your legs shoulder width apart, and that is all okay. Do not wait.
Oh.
So this is all, they've got a page on the last week's site of the week that has all of these different symbols and stuff. So
I haven't actually sat down and read that. I wonder if that's actually based on Semaphore.
I think they got a thing on Semaphore here too.
Well, yeah, Semaphore's good, but don't learn Semaphore, because the chances of you actually running into someone who understands Semaphore is pretty damn remote.
Yes, you have a better chance of being killed on your way to buy a lottery ticket.
A winning lottery ticket by lightning.
Yeah. But there's, you can do a different letters and arrows and stuff. The arrow is proceed in this direction.
YMCA.
I hate that song.
Well, you were talking about like hands over your head and then different letters, and I was just picturing a bunch of people doing YMCA on the ground.
Yeah, well, if you have to leave the spot where you're stranded, you do a big arrow on the ground so anybody that finds that spot knows which way you went. You may even want to leave a message there in smaller so that if anyone went down to the spot, they could see a little bit more detail about where you went and what your situation is. Some different letters are V is require assistance. X is require medical assistance, so it's just add two extra ones for a little extra help. N is negative, and Y is affirmative. So, or yes or no. So, there's also, and this is all basically for ground to air stuff. So,
I wonder how they actually communicate back to you.
Well, I've got that one too.
Oh.
All the plane can really do is yes or no. And he's got, if he makes, let's see, five green flashes with his signal lamp at night, then that means the message is received and understood. Okay, so he doesn't even have yes or no. He's got received and not received, or message received but not understood, and message received and understood. The other way to say that it's not received is five red flashes with the signal lamp. And he can also go in circles for that one, obviously, because he's going to have to come back around to see the message. And for understood, it's shaking back and forth, dropping his left wing and raising his right. And
wagging your wings.
Vice versa. Doing what?
Wagging your wings, I believe is actually the, I've heard it called.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that might be it. But there's different stuff there. If you have a radio that you can communicate with the plane, there's a signal to stand with your feet shoulder width apart and have your hands over your ears, and the term on that one is our receiver is operating.
Oh.
So if they do have...
I assume you're... actually laying down on the ground while you're doing this so they can tell. Because I really don't think if you're standing up, they're going
to
have a hard time looking at you.
Yes, unless they're flying way too low. Well, a lot of this stuff is...
If they're flying way too low, you may have company.
A lot of this stuff is... looks like it is for standing up.
Oh, really?
They've got different ones that you're moving in. One, you kind of sweep your arm down, fully extended, and throw it out in front of you, and it's a use
false start?
Drop message.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, but they've got another one that says, do not attempt to land here. You stick both arms up above your head and then move them to one side, about 45-degree angle, and it's do not attempt to land here. It's cool stuff if you go and look at this stuff. I know the Boy Scout Handbook has it in there for emergency preparation and possibly survival. But it's really cool stuff, the different signals that you can do. So.
Well, it looks interesting enough.
So that pretty much covers that. I mean, you got audio, whistles, probably some gunshots, anything like that.
So if you hear three gunshots in a row, which I assume the part of that's more like, you know, evenly spaced intervals.
Three shots in a row, that's your buddy got the buck.
Well, not really. I don't know how it is in other states, but I think in only Massachusetts you can carry two rounds in your, because you're doing a over-under shotgun or something. I don't know.
Alabama, it's a 10-round clip, I believe.
Fully automatic, because, you know. Body-piercing armory, because you never know when you're going to run into a
body-piercing
deer with body armor.
Is suggested, I believe. Just because it's more fun.
Let's not get into this. What's up with weather?
Okay, our next one is weather. Just some different stuff I'm predicting weather is clouds. Go learn your clouds, and you can kind of see what's going on. But the major thing that you're going to have in predicting weather is by watching the animals. I had this whole page set up for weather, and I can't find it.
Well, when you're talking about learning clouds, that is a very handy skill to have, just, you know,
yes,
in regular thing. Because I remember being in a situation where I looked up and I saw the clouds, and I was like, uh-oh, I'm completely drawing a blank on the names. I think it's cumulonimbus, and that means something bad's going to happen, like a storm's going to be coming through. And sure enough, about 15 minutes later, I got into the building and a storm came through. So I was like, yeah. Because I didn't have my umbrella or basically anything else to cover me, and it was a fairly nasty storm. It was a thunderstorm around here, and thank goodness. But thunderstorms don't have all these tornadoes like you would have down by you. But
well, see, that's just obvious stuff. You can get really specific with the different types of clouds. But I mean, if you look up and there's overcast skies and it's dark, I mean, something bad is about to happen.
Warning!
I mean, there's some obvious stuff like that. You can go out. I'm sure weather.com has something, which I believe is the Weather Channel's website. It may be weatherchannel.com.
And I think it's weather.com. They actually bought that domain a while back.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they have something on there about doing clouds, but it's much too much information for me to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
When I can look at animals and I can look up and see if it's about to rain. It's just basic stuff. You can look out on the horizon, see if there's a thundercloud rolling in, little stuff like that.
So
with the animals.
What would I specifically be looking for in animals exactly?
Well, with animals, if you're fishing and you,
mm-hmm.
you're getting a lot more bites than you normally do. It's a high possibility that there's a storm coming in. Fish eat a lot right before storms come in, and they eat very little after a storm. So if you are in a situation where you're out in the woods for a couple of weeks, and you're living on your own, and you're relying on the environment, and the fish do start to bite, get as many of them as you can, because it's probably going to be at least a day before you're going to be able to fish anymore. So, because I'm sure there's some fishermen out there that do something in our BinRev audience that knows something about this. But the fish, a lot of times bird activity increases right before a storm. Kind of like migration, they're going away from the bad weather.
See, I would have never expected fish to do that.
Well, all the rain and stuff stirs up the water and makes it dirty or something.
That's interesting.
I'm not sure. But it's cool stuff. I mean, it really helps out. If you see a storm coming in, do whatever you can to go fishing. Different animals and stuff. A lot of animals do that, I believe, and they'll increase activity right before a storm. And I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. I always expected like the furry woodland creatures to go hiding or something, like Bambi and his mother go into their hutch.
I would also think that they'd probably be drinking more, because if animal activity is increasing, they got to be doing something. So you may kill two birds with one stone and go wait by the water with your spears and your fishing rod and go fishing and kill some bunnies while you're at it.
Yeah. Kill the bunnies.
Rabbits taste good. Rabbits
any
are a delicacy.
Meat. Any type of meat tastes good, but for the most part.
So that also falls under exploiting bad weather.
Meat weather exploits.
Yes. So almost kind of, nah, I don't think that would really fall under social engineering. You're not really doing anything.
I'm not socially engineering the animals to give me like their hiding space. So where do you hide your food? I'm the food inspector. Oh, well, you know, my nuts are up in my tree. Wait a minute, can I see some ID? Oh, I groaned.
Yes, go to www.squirrel.justgotowned.com.
I wonder if justgotowned.com is taken. It has to be.
It is.
Oh, damn it.
It's a active subdomain, something or other. They've got a webpage up that describes it, and you do it, and it's got this whole thing of these people getting owned, and it's got like the squirrel underneath the car wheel picture and all this different stuff, and it has an arrow and then whatever name that you do in the subdomain.
Hmm.
So if I did faceman.justgotowned.com, it would put all these different pictures of Faceman getting owned. It's really cool, and everybody can go check it out.
Your second bonus site of the week.
No, that's third.
Well, it's the second bonus site of the week. Cause...
Yeah. They've also got youaremyfriend.com, doyouhaveepilepsy.com, and something about waiting for Quake to come out or something, I'm not sure. If you just enter it without the subdomain, it gives you this list of the different websites that you can do. It's really cool.
Because people got bored.
Yes, people got bored. That's weather and weather getting owned.
Right. And also, what's up with navigation?
Well, if you are lost for an extended period of time or, say, a hurricane came through, and all the power's going out, and you got to find your way out of town. You got to know how to find direction. And your major thing with moving around is going in the same direction. I'm sure everybody's heard stories of somebody getting lost in the woods and going around in circles. And I'm also
Blair Witch, woo!
What?
Blair Witch Project.
Oh, I don't.
Oh man, damn it, man! I'm going to be quiet for the rest of the.
All right, well,
go ahead.
I'm sure a few people have heard the moss only grows on the north side of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those myths and legends. It is BS.
Oh.
Not true at all. Your best way is obviously a compass, unless you're traveling around the world, because as we're all smart guys, so we know that north is not at the North Pole, somewhere in Canada.
No, magnetic north. That's a,
yeah, magnetic north,
is, north
the, is not.
North is at the North Pole, but magnetic north is not, so that's a problem.
Yeah. Unless you live in Alabama, where the declination is zero.
Oh, really? I think it's five up in here in Boston.
Well, I don't think it may not be zero anymore, but because magnetic north is moving.
Ooh, poles are swapping, and the North Atlantic will rise and freeze, and it'll be just like the day after tomorrow.
That'd be kind of cool.
No.
Well.
Because I think that movie's boring.
That's a personal opinion, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway,
so your best bet is probably a compass if you're just trying to get out of town. You can make a compass by running a needle over a magnet and try and magnetize the needle and then stick that on something that floats and stick that in water and then it will turn to the magnetic north or south. But the major thing is going in a straight line. So
yes.
There's also the watch method, and I always thought this was cool. Let's see. I don't want to get this wrong, so I'm going to look this up. Because... I've described it wrong before, and that was
well. Cool. One of the simple ways to find out which way is west and north and south and everything. Well, everyone knows how the sun sets and where the sun rises. It rises in, I'm going to say this wrong probably. Rises in the east and sets in the west.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. I always get those two confused. See, I'd be bummed if I was going in the opposite direction. If you know which way is east and you know which way is west, you can tell. We can, you know, extrapolate which way is north and south. So if you watch where the sun goes and where the sun comes up, you know which way is east, you know which way is west, you know north, and you know south. So you have a rough compass. I mean, it's not going to be extremely accurate by any stretch of the imagination, but it works.
Gets
you got
you
a rough
in
idea.
Direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the watch method, which I've always found nice and fun, and it's just cool. If you have a watch, then you can point 12 o'clock at the sun in the direction mm-hmm. of the sun, and then where the hour hand is, and right in the middle of that, between where the two points come together,
mm-hmm.
is due south.
Hmm.
Above the equator. If you're below the equator, it's the other way around.
If you're below the equator, you'd be due north.
Right.
Okay.
Generally, when someone is taught how to do this, it's put a stick at 12 o'clock and then
mm-hmm.
rotate until the stick is at the center of your watch. If you have a digital watch, then just imagine where the hands would be.
You're doomed.
That's right. For all you hackers out there with digital watches, goodbye.
Your watch has like a GPS, and actually, if your watch had a GPS, that'd be kind of a moot point. Your watch has like a calculator and can do dates and times and everything. Yeah, but it doesn't have a hour hand, so you're doomed.
And a lot of watches have compasses built in too, and those are cool watches.
Mm.
But as you mentioned, the sun rising and setting in the east and rising mm-hmm. in the east and setting in the west. So does the moon. So you can also do that with the moon if mm-hmm. you know when it came up. Do not believe that just because the sun just went down that the moon just came up.
Yes.
The moon comes up whenever it dang well feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd actually have to see it coming up or watch it for an hour, see where it's at. Come back an hour later and see where it's at then.
Hmm.
There's another one, the shadow stick method, which is... Actually, this is basically pretty stupid. It's just stick a stick in the ground and then see where the shadow goes to see where the sun is. So by the exact opposite of where the shadow is from the stick is where the sun is. And I guess it would work if it was overcast or something and you couldn't see the sun.
Because
mm-hmm. then you still get a little bit of a shadow, which I've done that before to see where I'm going. Although I did that with the watch stick method and just stuck a stick, seen where the shadow was with a stick for that. But so.
Well, so you know the watch method and you added that on with the shadow stick method and you have enough completely working solution that was accurate.
Yeah. So. And the Army manual that I gave you last week
mm-hmm.
Has all this different stuff. They've got like a good 4 pages on using different sticks and shadows, and they've got like one that you can do this compass with a shadow, and I think you can get like time down to the hour with it and all this different stuff, and then move it around. And The Army had too much time on their hands.
Well, the Army does this kind of stuff. I mean, Army is Boy Scouts with heavy artillery.
I'm going to bring it up at my next Boy Scout meeting.
I think it was a Robin Williams routine with Good Morning Vietnam. It was what's the difference between the Army and the Cub Scouts? Cub Scouts don't have heavy artillery.
M16.
Oh, we have 22s, so.
Not Cub Scouts.
No, we had air rifles back then.
Boy Scouts had 22s. And venturing crews have pretty much anything they want, I think.
M80 minigun. Yeah. Those deer will find out who they're messing with now.
And Uzis are always fun.
Of course.
Benrev does not take any responsibility for any lives lost with Uzis.
Okay.
But I had to say it.
All right, so we're moving, but we want to leave a path. So what should we to alert our rescuers where we're going?
Well, like I had in signals a minute ago, arrows. You can leave arrows to where you're going. You can take off pieces of your clothing, not the whole thing, but maybe cut a little piece off or rip it off or something and leave it stuck on a tree branch or something. Just leave little signs, move some rocks, pile up a thing of rocks. Do whatever you can to just kind of mark where you've been. And
Hansel and Gretel, they had the right idea.
Yeah.
Breadcrumbs, but
yes.
Same concept.
Pretty much. But that's also twofold, because that way, if you don't know which direction you're going, you don't come back around on yourself. Because if you see these marks, you know you're not going in the right direction. So.
At which point you go, crap.
Yeah. At which point you are screwed.
No, you take it as a minor setback, and you get your bearings, and then you head back out again, because as we said last week, it's all psychological.
Yes, absolutely. Everything here is psychological. If it didn't work, it's your fault, because you weren't in the right psychological mood.
Exactly.
Just that attitude. So, yeah, leave anything you can. That's not, that you can't use later. You can actually use shirts and clothes and stuff for water filters.
Yep.
So I would probably not suggest doing that. But, you know, if you're kidnapped and the guys that kidnap you take you into the woods, you can rip stuff off and drop it or something. I don't know. But that's not something you want to do if, say, you're running from the authorities, which we also don't recommend.
So what would we do in that situation?
Well, in that situation, I don't think it really matters which direction you go or getting found.
Well, yes, it matters which direction you're going. It matters the direction away from the people you're tracing, being chased by.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to leave marks then, and you can step on larger rocks and stuff like that. You stay away from sand and dirt and stuff, so you don't leave footprints. You want to stay far away from small twigs because they break easily. Those are both twigs on the ground and twigs still on trees. Another major thing is stepping on roots. The likelihood of leaving a mark on a root is very low, so that's another thing that you can step on as you're going to not leave a mark.
Oh my God, I got roots. I'm in your trees, stepping on your roots.
I have rooted your tree.
Yes.
So, yeah. But that also goes along with camouflage. My excellent segue.
Hey, you're doing pretty good at this, so.
Yeah, we may actually get down on time this time.
Who knows?
Along with that is camouflage. The major thing with camouflage is a lot of people think it's just color. The color is actually the least thing that you're trying to do. I mean, you obviously don't want to go out if you're trying to run from somebody in a red T-shirt and blue jeans. They kind of stand out everywhere.
Yeah.
Except if you're maybe at a painter's convention or something. But, yeah, they stand out every place. So there's not really any place you can go in a red T-shirt and be camouflaged. But the major thing in camouflage is your shape. The human mind has a subconscious portion of it that is entirely dedicated to recognizing shape. Your eyes are, what you see is not actually what's there. A lot of people don't know this, but your eyes change everything you see so that you can see edges better and see shapes. Because otherwise it all kind of bleeds together, and if you've got a foreground and a background the same color, you'd never know where something was. So that's a major thing there.
Sounds like a bad SNL sketch.
A what skit?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm just gonna
I know what Saturday Night Live is, though. So the major thing for camouflage is shape. And when someone is looking for someone else, their mind goes for that human shape. It's like when you lose something, your mind picks up on, it knows what shape it's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps it find it. But to camouflage yourself that way, you may want to carry a limb with a bunch of leaves on it, and just carrying it and kind of sticking it over your shoulder or something will break up your shape enough that the human mind doesn't pick up on it.
Hmm.
See, it's not about the way you see it because you know you're there. It's about the way the human mind would see it if it doesn't know it's there. So it's just little stuff like that. If you're going to camouflage your whole body, you can stick little sticks protruding from your legs sideways or something, tie them on or something.
Yep.
So it's just breaking up shape. The other major thing is, of course, color. But with color goes shine and shadows. So if you got a watch on it, you may want to remove that and stick it in your pocket. The watch face may reflect something. Even if you're at night, you want to get rid of that because if the people that are looking for you have flashlights, they may not have them on. They may just turn them on and it hits your watch face and they see that off in the distance and you're busted.
So, you're owned.
Yeah. Another thing with that is maybe if for some reason you're sneaking up on someone or if you're trying to hide and the person is close to you, your shadow is something that you want to hide. So you want to get nice mm-hmm. and low because if they see the shadow, they're seeing your human shape in that shadow. So their subconscious picks up on that. They start looking around. They see you. You're screwed there too. And obviously noise. You don't want to be running from somebody and scream out your location. Yes, you're running
nanny,
from the cops
nanny,
and you start screaming
you
out your latitude and longitude. So, just little stuff, just noise,
yeah.
Scent, which is big if you're going to be hunting animals.
Don't rip one while you're trying to hide from the cops.
Huh?
Don't rip one while you're trying to hide from the cops.
Yes. That's a good point. But the scent is a big thing, and a good way to get rid of that is obviously to shower. But another way is if you can't shower, throw yourself over a fire, and the ashes and stuff will cover up your bodily scent, and animals have a harder time hearing you, smelling you.
Smelling you.
Smelling you. There's not much a fire can do for noise.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there's that. Also, the human mind subconsciously picks up on movement.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't see the shape and it doesn't see the color and it doesn't see any shine or shadow and it doesn't smell you and it doesn't hear anything and you move, the mind picks up on that.
Yeah, the eye is very much attracted to movement.
Yes, unless, of course, the person hunting you is a Navy SEAL sniper who has their eyes trained for, I think it's a month, just learning how to pick stuff out that's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pick out little tiny things out in a field 100 yards away that's not moving, and they'll pick out like 14 of these different things and tell you what they are and how long it's been there. And
So if you're being hunted by a Navy SEAL sniper, just give yourself up. You're screwed.
Yes.
If you're being hunted by the Navy SEALs, you're gone at this point. So just turn yourself in. Just save yourself some time and effort.
And along with turning yourself in, if you ever see a UAV that you're pretty sure that's looking for you, you might as well give yourself up because chances are it's got
night vision and
night vision,
thermal sensors and
thermal and all this stuff. Infrared.
Yeah.
It's got the infrared, and chances are it has found you. So you might as well get
Even helicopters
up.
At this point.
Yeah.
A lot of them have thermal cameras on them.
Although helicopters, I wouldn't give yourself up just quite like that, because the chances are that a UAV has it a lot more, and a lot of police have helicopters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the UAV is all computerized pretty much with identifying stuff. And that's something
UAV meaning unmanned aerial vehicle, like
yes.
the Global Surveyor and all that stuff, and
yeah,
all of the Predator drones. And I'm sure most people know what they are here, but just in case they don't.
Yeah, and I saw a thing on the History Channel about it
mm-hmm.
on UAVs, and there's this one UAV that the Army uses. Going back to the Army again.
Mm-hmm.
And they only use this one UAV 3 minutes from an attack.
Hmm.
And the people that they're filming can see this UAV, and they know it's there, but they may not realize what's going on. And this UAV goes over, and it's nice and low, and it may even be looking for someone. But when that UAV goes over...
Run.
You've got 3 minutes, and then this UAV is only used for a shoot-to-kill mission. And it's no prisoners. They come in, and they kill you. That's the one where you see a UAV, and you put your hands behind your head and get down face first on the ground. And
yes, but chances are I don't think we're going to have any of those type of major criminals enough that their Army is sending UAVs out for them.
Yeah. Kevin Mitnick didn't get it. You probably won't.
All right. So we're just going to skip ahead a little bit here, and let's get into preparation. Like, we want those. So, for example, we're in our car, and we don't want to end up in a middle of an Oregon road with nothing. What would we want to stock? What would we make like a kit for an emergency or an emergency kit?
Well, kits are great. There's a lot of 32-hour kits and 72-hour kits and 48-hour kits, and it's all pretty much designated by hours that you can buy. You can also make this stuff, and mm-hmm. there's different things that you want in there. You want some food. You want stuff to stay warm, stuff to start fires, stuff to cook food, stuff to clean, just different stuff like that. I've got some lists here that I would love to read off real fast.
Sure.
Okay. Food packets, snare wire, smoke, illumination signals, waterproof matchbox, saw, knife blade, wood matches, first aid kit, compass, pocket knife, saw, knife, shovel, handle, frying pan, illuminating candles, compressed trioxane fuel, which is just fuel, anything that'll burn, gasoline, stuff like that. Signal mirror, survival fishing kit, plastic spoon, maybe a survival manual, poncho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Poncho, which goes along with our shelter section we did last week. Insect head net, ejectors. No, that's this one. This is from the Army manual here, and it's got ejector snap and attaching strap and kit outer case and kit inner case. And that does not apply.
They actually put all of this stuff in an emergency kit and they carry it around with them? Because I was thinking, what do these people have, like an RV to stuff all this stuff in?
Yeah, this is all in a little 12-inch by 3-inch by... I guess 7-inch thing that they strap to their chest.
Good for them. Holy crap. They make some small stuff.
Oh, yes. Another major thing is a sponge. They don't have this on here, but I know the Air Force gives sponges to their pilots because you can go and collect water off of plants. Here's a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought they wanted to do dishes like in the middle of nowhere.
Well, it helps for that, too.
Yeah.
So, you also got sunscreen. If you just throw in some sunscreen in there. Just different stuff like that.
In case you land on the beach.
Yeah, in case you come across a beach.
Hey, all right, let me go work in my tan. Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But, just random stuff you can put in the car. I mean, that's a good place to start, but, you know, matches. If you really want to, go to your Army Navy Surplus store, pick up a couple of MREs, because those have, you can toss those in the back of your car, and they have an insane shelf life, measured, 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's, 17 years or something.
I think with the conditions that you would probably get in a trunk, it gets shortened because if you store them in a 60 degree room with no humidity and everything, the shelf life is 20 years. And if you're if it's a certain above temperature, the shelf life drops to 15. And if you're over 110 degrees, which your trunk usually will probably get to that hot unless you live in northern Canada. You're I mean, it'll shorten down 10 years, and that's I mean, technically it's not really a short shelf life, but whatever. And for those of you who are like thinking, "Ooh, MREs, rations, bad." MREs really aren't that bad. They're kind of tasty. The Army did a lot of research back in like the late 80s and early 90s, and well, I guess it was more of like mid 80s, and how to make good food and get them out to the troops. And the MREs are pretty darn good.
Well,
and you get M&Ms
so
and Tabasco sauce.
Good.
All right.
I wouldn't go so far as to say they're good.
When I actually had them, I was pleasantly surprised how halfway decent they were.
Yeah.
I'd rate them as just above hospital food.
Well, it gets to a point where anything tastes good. So.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like packaged to have all your healthy nutritional requirements, and I think it's like, because they're designed to be for soldiers, I think they have an insane amount of calories in them, which if you're in a survival situation is very good, because that's exactly what you need.
Right, and just being outdoors, you increase your calorie consumption by like 2.5 times. Just
Not really.
Being outside.
Huh.
Just your body regulating its own temperature more than an air-conditioned
true,
room.
True.
But those are ones that you might have in your car. If you know that you're going hiking or something, I put together my own personal survival kit, and if we've got a little time, I'd like to take that apart.
Sure.
Okay. There's not too much in it. I stick all of this in a Ziploc bag, and I've got a weed eater cord, a big bundle of that, tied together at one end, and that is great for snares.
A weed eater, that's that little, like, twirly thing.
Yeah.
We call that a weed whacker up here, so just a local terminology.
Everything down here is about food, so.
Yeah.
Food and sweet tea. So that's great because it's already kind of twisted up, and a lot of snares are making stuff with rope that is in circles, and this is already in circles, so it works really well. I've got a compass in mine, and 4 boot shoelaces. You can pick those up at Walmart if you're daring enough to go into Walmart. And those are just kind of a stronger string that it's easy to tie knots in if you know your knots. And those come in handy. Like you said last week, you can boil water in a paper cup. Well, you got your shoelaces here. Wrap that around the cup. You can get it out of the fire.
Yep.
Because you don't want to stick your hand in that boiling water to pull it out.
No, you don't.
I've also got duct tape in here, and I did not take the whole roll and squash the middle or anything. I took it, and I re-rolled myself a roll of duct tape without the center cardboard. And I think I got about...
You're insane.
Well, it took a while to do, but it takes up very little space. And I've got about 30 feet in... about the size of my toes altogether.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. Another great thing is a solar blanket, and it's this really thin sheet of tin foil that unwraps, and it's blanket size. And it's really conductive. It's not too strong, so it's not going to hold up too much, but it works really nice. It'll keep you nice and warm, especially if it's cold and there's a little bit of sun. They'll kind of absorb everything, and it's nice. And they're always nice and small. They're folded up to very high efficiency. Another thing I've got is about 6 sections of tin foil, and you can wrap that around pieces of food if you need to and cook it in there.
Yep.
If you're really creative, you can make a bowl and boil water in there. But tin foil is just something that is excellent to have. And I keep this little thing and fold it up nice and tight. Fits in the Ziploc bag with all my other stuff. It's pretty nice.
It's always handy to have stuff like that because you never know when you're going to need it. And
right.
Going back to Boy Scouts, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Like guns.
Exactly. I'm just going to agree with you there because you might shoot me.
Well, it was in a movie, so.
Oh, okay.
One of the things that I learned when I was on one of these campouts, survival campouts, one of the other people that was with me gave me this idea. to take a film canister and run fishing line around the outside and keep hooks and little pieces of bait on the inside, duct tape the bottom to hold it on there, and then you've got yourself a little roll of fishing line that you can spin the canister to wind it in and throw it out, and you can put it on the end of a stick, do whatever you need, and it's all film canister size.
That's cool. I've heard that before.
Yeah, and that is really neat. It's nice and light. It's a film canister. And I think I got like 4 hooks inside, a little bit of bait. It's pretty nice.
What kind of would you use for a bait, and would you be able to keep that with you for an extended period of time, though?
I'm not sure. I bought the stuff when I bought a survival knife, and the handle's hollow, and it just throws a little stuff in there. And they had these little pieces of, I guess, bread or something. And I just threw the fish hook stuff in this little film canister. Another thing is a little tiny jar of Purell or whatever to clean your hands. You never know when you're going to need that. Hand sanitizer is great.
Yeah, wouldn't that kind of ruin your scent, though?
Well, the chances of being lost for an extended period of time and having to hunt or... And since we don't agree with running from the police, scent is not something that you really, really have to worry about.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Especially if you're lost in a state park, most of them have cell phone coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a state park ranger, and he said that they get about 7 calls a month from people lost inside of the state park, and they have to triangulate on the cell phone signal.
That's interesting.
Yes, because the NSA will not give them access to the GPS data, which is just another reason to hate the NSA.
That's not National Security Agency. That would be more of E911 on your local people, your local fire department, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm not sure quite how it works, but he said that the authorities won't give it to him. So.
It would probably be your local government and emergency response agency. Fire department, police, that type of people. Whoever runs the 911 center.
Well, see, now I can't hate the NSA.
You can hate the NSA for other reasons.
Okay. Just as long as I can do that. I've also got 2 glow sticks in here, and I believe Target sells little tiny things.
In case you stumble across a rave.
Yeah, in case there's a rave out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm all set, man.
Beer to last a week. But these things are great. Because that way you don't got to haul around a flashlight. These little things, as long as they're not broken and the chemicals mix, they're going to last forever on, like, a flashlight, which batteries have expiration dates.
Well, what about one of those little, like, what do they call it? Inductance ones where you shake and you get the light going.
Those work too, but...
Yeah, I do have one. I got them, and I do have one of those in my car. It's pretty stupid. I mean, you have to shake it like quite literally every 30 seconds. I could say some very bad things here, but I'm not going to. But it works, and it does seem to be rather simple to operation, so I kept one in the car just in case.
And different major retail stores sell these flashlights, and they've got FM and AM radio and the flashlight on there, and flood lamp and all this fun stuff, and those are pretty cool too, and it's all dynamo powered, and those are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But Target sells these little tiny glow sticks in the front of the store. That's where I got these, and I picked up like 15 of them for $10. So that was pretty good. A lot of dollar stores have them too, but they'll only sell you one for $1 a piece.
So go to Target. This has been Ref Episode brought to you by Target.
Absolutely. And
we could have one of those like really abstract commercials on the TV where people are dancing and they have like little objects and they all have the Target symbol on them. Can't stand those commercials.
Yeah, those are pretty annoying. I'm not quite sure how you make this one, but it's cardboard that's glued together on top of each other and then cut off into small bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And coated in wax to use to light fires.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, they burn really well. This one was homemade and given to me by a scout leader, and they're pretty cool.
It's very difficult to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they work great.
They work great, but just unless you're really kind of know what the heck you're doing, you can find instructions for them online. But unless you really know what you're doing, don't attempt to make them because it involves, you know, melting wax and double boilers, and wax can burn and catch fire, and bad, very bad, nasty, evil things can happen.
Yeah. Well, along with fires is matches, and you just grab two of those little books of matches of, I think it's like 24 matches in each book, and put them in a separate Ziploc bag and shove that in the rest of the Ziploc bag. And those work great. I mean, because they're cheap, they don't have to be waterproof if you're sticking them in another bag. And just matches go along with that. Now, I don't have mine in, I don't have a knife in there, but it's recommended that you use a knife and put that in there, just a small thing. And that is that.
No.
Took about 6 minutes, but...
Well, I mean, I covered a lot of stuff you want to have in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I got to say, this was a very thoroughly covered topic.
Yes, it was. Two full episodes.
Yeah, two very full episodes. I think we're going to run a little bit over, but I think it's cool enough that I'm not going to edit anything out.
All right.
That's the kind of guy I am. Plus, it makes it a lot easier for the editing side.
Well.
All right.
I've just got one more thing.
Oh.
Okay. Just kind of a tips and tricks section, and I was going to do a couple of different things, but I'm only going to mention two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One is butt wipe leaves. I think it's called the elephant tree or something. I'm not quite sure, but it's this big leaf, and it grows about 10 feet up on a tree.
Yeah.
And these things are great because there are more diseases in crap than there is in anything else. So it's very important that you clean yourself. And these leaves are so soft. And I would insert a Charmin commercial here, but it's radio. So it's not quite as good as that, but it works great. I had to use it a couple of times.
Okay, what's number two? Because I really don't want to go anywhere near this topic.
Well, you see, it's an important topic because there's just so many diseases in that, and that's one of the most important things, especially if a hurricane came through or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all your toilet paper got ruined, it's very important that you clean parts of your bodies. So
if you're going to have to poop, go clean and wipe yourself correctly. Not with your hands or a pine cone.
Because pine cones hurt.
Yeah, especially if you do it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is making rope out of little tiny trees. And you can just kind of strip it off like was done in the movie with Tom Hanks on an island and Castaway.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see how he did it there, and it worked great. And he just kind of took the end off and stripped it and then braided it all together. Used the bark. So.
And essentially what you do is you braid it, which basically is what rope is braided string.
Yeah, pretty much. So that is that.
Cool. Well, I got to say, thank you very much for this very informative, crazy informative topic.
Yeah. I've got a couple of different people that said, what the heck is going on here? Wilderness Survival and Benrev Radio?
Oh, really? I didn't. I thought I would get a couple emails like that, but no such thing.
I mean, it was all about my Linux problems. And
well,
it was
very
quiet.
No one said anything in the IRC channels. No one.
Well, see, that's where I heard mine. There was one day, I think it was Wednesday, that people were talking about it.
Hmm. Well, Wednesday's right after it airs, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So you apparently you wrote down all your shouts this week because you were embarrassed last week. So I'll let you go do that.
I wasn't really embarrassed, but I felt unprepared.
Oh.
So. Wednesday was when I found out that Zal 91 is from Alabama with two. So, shouts to Zal. And that's how the show got brought up, was Zal was talking about it. So, shouts to Zal 91. Shouts to Fear, spelled with a 3-4-R. So, shouts to Fear, who used to live in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give shouts to Tim for just being cool. And I want to give shouts to Savant for working long and hard on the forums and keeping them up.
Ooh, your little kiss ass.
That's right.
Yeah,
suck up.
Great. I'll send shouts out to Poundbin Rev, and I'll also send shout out to Savant, because I like to be a kiss ass too. Because Savant really took this one head on, so good for him. I think it just sort of fell into his lap because he was in the forum when it happened. So he was the first one that kind of was there and had access, possibility of access to it. So good for that. Site of the week this week is wheresgeorge.com, which is just go there. It's basically, essentially, a lot of people can track money via its serial numbers, and it's all voluntary. You can find out where, if you've ever gotten like a dollar bill with like, you know, wheresgeorge.com written on it, chances are that dollar bill's entered into this giant database and you can track it between, you know, where the person entered it and where it is now and find out how far it's traveled. And, for example, today I got change from my coffee and my donut and, it had wheresgeorge.com on it. And I always get excited because this site has been around forever and it actually looks like it's been designed back in 1996. But, it traveled over the past 20 days from one town over to me, from me to my town, and like an average speed of like 0.83 miles per hour or something. And it's just interesting. I've never actually gotten like a hit on it where it's like, you know, from California or something, but it's still pretty cool and you never know when you're going to do it. And technically you can just open up your wallet, enter all your money and type, you know, they sell little stamps you can do, but just write on it, wheresgeorge.com, and maybe someone will enter one of your money bills and give
you
data.
Can you write on dollar bills? Isn't that a federal offense?
We don't condone federal offenses here on BedRev Radio. I don't know. Can you defend? I guess it kind of is defacing it. Who knows? Whatever. Email radio@binrev.com. And what's our closing music tonight there, Faceman?
Our closing music tonight is a remix of Senator Stevens done by me. It's not too long. But, hey, I've also thrown in some different Looney Tunes, so it's halfway decent.
So, okay, well, let's see if this sucks, actually. You can go email faceman at lt.faceman@gmail.com.
Yes.
There we go. See, that works.
Email me anyways and just say, hey.
Hey. I'll send an email and I'll say, hey. All right, so that sort of wraps up this episode. Slightly along, but whatever, we're not off the hook. We don't have a set schedule. We can beat this as long as we want. We're like default radio in that respect. But as always, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code.